November 29, 2021, so out from Pedro's show.
Have you listened to many of the other younger saxophonists besides Farrell?
Yes, Albert Ayler first.
Could you see any... Oh, I'm sorry. Could you see any relationship between what you were doing and what he was doing? In other words, do you think that he had developed out of some of your ideas?
I don't, not necessarily. I think what he's doing is, it seems to be moving music into even higher frequency, you see.
To me, it appears that some of the things that you did...
Maybe where I left off may be where he started.
In a sense, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I listen to...
Not to say that he, you know, would copy this or that, but it's just that he, you know, he filled an area that it seemed that I hadn't gotten to.
Okay. Pedro show. Happy Monday. Started off John Coltrane talking to Frankowski, November 66. And we had wave from our boats. Mary Lattimore. We got to give respect, Brother Bill Nace, for the Connect. Welcome aboard. Because of those
Thank you.
Skype adventure for them Estonian software engineers. Mary Latimer, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much.
Your earliest
really
musical,
happy to be on here.
Your earliest musical recollection, please, Mary.
Oh, man. My mom is a harpist as well, and so definitely listening to her in my living room. She had a lot of harpists coming over to our house, too, and they would play together. So, yeah, just hearing the harp as a little kid. Played around the house.
Hearing your mom play harp. Now, did she do did she do recordings of harp? Like a play?
She never did.
No,
she never did recordings.
Not herself, but did she have any, like, harp people she listened to? Like maybe some Groucho Marx?
Harpo. Harpo, yeah.
Groucho did guitar. And Chico did piano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
So I'm not a total idiot. I'm just a slow learner. Did she have, like, favorite harp people that she would play on the record player or a radio or something?
Yeah, definitely. She had a lot of, she listened to a lot of harpists and a lot of, like, orchestras, too, on the record player, but she also would listen to, like, other stuff too, but, yeah, she still listened to a lot of harp music.
Well, I'm asking you harp because you end up being a harpist like her, so did she, like, say, now listen to that cat on the harp. Now listen to that one. See how that one's different than that? Did she was like that, or was it like,
no,
I'm going to give you lessons. I'm going to give you a teacher.
Exactly. It was the latter of those. Like, she definitely was not like, listen to how this person plays and analyze it or, like, try to emulate this or whatever. She was more like, now it's time for you to play the harp. You have no choice. It's time. You know, that kind of vibe.
Well, what about on the other side? Like, at school, were you in the choir, the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the orchestra when I was in high school, playing the harp parts of the orchestra.
Okay, so the harp started at home, though, not at school.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I started playing when I was, like, 11.
11, okay, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably the same size of harp you got now, was it?
It was, yeah.
Oh, damn.
It was the same size.
Well,
I know, I've just been I'm a tall person.
Yeah,
I'm tall.
At 11, you were tall?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, because I played the giant harp. I mean, maybe I had to, like, have a really high chair or something like that, but I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
I had somebody on the show, a lady, and she was, like, that age, and she said she was playing fucking stand-up bass, you know.
How?
I know.
How?
That's what I'm trying to imagine. Or maybe your range was just small. You didn't use all the strings, maybe. Or something.
Right. Yeah. I just had really long arms.
And anyway, them strings, there's a lot of fucking tension on those. I mean,
yeah. You
got to build up some strength.
Yeah, definitely. I have really strong fingers.
Yeah.
I think.
But I know, being a bass operator, that the muscles really ain't in the fingers. They're in the forearm. And they're pulling on tendons that pull those fingers.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah.
I call them the Popeye muscles. Because they're the ones when he eats the fucking spinach, right? And they get all, I wish I had that shit, because they can get sore after a hard gig. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about the lessons? What was the experience with lessons? How was the harp teacher? Or was there more than one?
Oh, there's more than one, yeah. I started off playing, like, my mom never taught me harp because she knew that we would probably fight, you know? I think it's, like, different going to a teacher.
Let me know if this is kind of in the same ballpark, kind of parallel universe. I taught four women how to drive stick shift transmission in a car because they said their fathers, or brothers, went too insane. And being a third party or something. And I never, I was patient. I knew yelling at him wasn't going to really help learn.
Exactly. Exactly. And not, you know, like, you're automatically kind of, like, prone to be like, Mom, don't tell me what to do. Like, that kind of feeling too, kind of. I was like, yeah, don't tell me what to do. She would know.
What you're saying is you're taking this other kind of, like, mother-daughter relationship. Now you're bringing it over to student. Teacher,
yeah,
oh my God,
yeah, hard,
you
too hard.
Razor wire to keep those separate.
Okay. Yeah,
it reminds me of the back of this new Izumi Suzuki book. It says, Yeah, her, because she wrote these science fiction stories. Technology is maybe limitless, but relationships are impossible. I like that. It's kind of trippy thing. Was it the R word recital involved?
The R word.
So those are your first gigs, right?
Yeah, and I was scared.
They're pants shooters, right? Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first one?
I remember the first couple, I guess. And I don't know. I just, like, don't really enjoy that kind of playing. I just, like, feel scared of it, you know, and feeling scared isn't always the most fun. So
yeah.
I definitely like playing. I had a hard time with playing classical recitals where everybody knew if you made a wrong note or whatever, you know, and then you get all flustered and then it's downhill from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Adam Yauch said, let it flow like a mudslide. What about getting it around?
Yeah, as a kid, my poor dad, he definitely has been hauling harps around his whole life because he's been married to my mom since they were 25. So when I was a kid, he hauled both of our harps around for us.
I asked that because when Thirst carried a harp lady, they had a trailer.
That was me.
That was you.
That was me. Yeah. We had a trailer. It's true. That was me.
Right.
Yeah.
The old, that band in the city of Black Humor, there's a line from one of their tunes, I think called Neo Hippies, and it says, "The only thing new is you finding out about it." Okay, that was you. It was your harp in that trailer. Okay.
Yep, it was. I'm on tour right now. It's not the most fun thing to have to carry around, but also it's worth it. I mean, I'm sure you feel this way about your instruments. It's like you feel like they're part of you.
I'll tell you this. In a way, I'm lucky because a Fender's a Fender if it ain't too fucked up. Where I can go, a couple weeks ago, I did my first out-of-town gig in 20 months. And, you know, if there's a Fender P bass, I can work it. Not a lot, because my left younger hands, I need the littler ones for gigs now. But I could do a few. And I'm kind of lucky. But I can imagine. It's almost like the pedal steel. I mean, there's pedals and things hooked on. It's not just like old Greek days.
Right. There's pedals. It's like the most advanced version of it now, you know. It's been, like, honed for centuries, so.
But in a trippy way, it's kind of like a piano, because one note for each.
Yep.
Yeah, huh. And all of them, you know, Ionian and Phrygian and all those scales that the Greeks came up with, it was on those things, right?
Yep.
And they didn't really play them as chords, right? As one note after another.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. After school, but not graduating, bedroom band, basement band, garage band, did you whip out the harp? You know, like the horn guys finally got a shot when ska had its run, right? I can't remember when harp had its run.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, like with basses and guitars and drums, you make these garage, basement, bedroom bands, right?
Yeah.
But did you ever do a harp version of that shit when you were a teenager?
Not when I was a teenager, no. I kept it totally separate. I was like, I had my world of listening to music that I liked, and then I had my world of harp pretty separate until I graduated from college.
When you did graduate high school, you went to higher education for harp. Correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And where was that again?
That was Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York.
Ah, Eastman Kodak is a big company in Rochester.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The other one's Xerox.
Yep.
What you learn from touring?
I know. Yep. Probably, the Bug Jar is the place to play there. And
I played a gay disco with called Icons, I think, and I shared the stage with Sonny Chirac. I didn't get to play with him, but he talked to me a lot backstage. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Can I ask you that the learning experience versus the private teaching when you're a girl, younger girl, and then the stuff you... got in higher education.
Yep. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
I'm sorry. What was the question again? I got another phone call that came in. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, this will only take 40 minutes. Maybe you put that thing on pause for a little.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I know. And on the Watt for Peter show, the guest always holds sway. But I'm curious about, you know, learning in higher education versus mm-hmm. learning when you were a younger girl with those private teachers.
Yeah, you know, it was really studying in the higher education. It was very serious, and it was like a lot. It felt very competitive. Like everyone was really judging you, and like if you didn't play it perfectly, it felt like perfectionist place to go. You know, and it was really hard. And so that kind of made me change my course with the harp, I think, and decide that I didn't want to compete with anybody, and I wanted to do my own thing.
So you didn't want to join like a city orchestra or something?
Yeah, because it's like with orchestra, with a harp, there's only like one or two harpists in the orchestra as opposed to like violins and all that. Like, so people hold on to their job until they're old or until they pass away, you know, until they hold on to it. Because it's so competitive.
What would you do, Mary?
I would hold tight to that
right?
job. Yeah, I would do the same thing. And okay. My mom did. She just retired from the orchestra. So
and
like,
there was young women fighting for her gig, right?
Exactly. Lined up to fight for it. And like, that's just the way it is. And I don't know. I don't like competition like that. I'm just not made for it. So
okay,
you know.
Let me ask you this. You and your instrument, did you ever, because mm-hmm. this is one thing although a lot of these people, you know, qualified for classical work are incredible with their instrument, like no improvisation or composition.
Right.
Did you pursue any of that?
I only did after school. Okay. I never improvised ever until I was like 25 years old. Ever, or maybe even like 27 years old, I just never played anything that wasn't written down on the page, which is like the case with a lot of classical musicians, I think.
And do you think it's from the institutionalized learning?
Yep, exactly. I do. And I think like improvisation is kind of discouraged unless you, or, you know, making stuff up is kind of discouraged unless you go specifically for something like tailored to that, you know?
I was going to just say, the genre nightmare comes. Like, we can improvise if we go for jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music
totally.
Can't be music, right?
Totally.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's intense.
Like camping.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like camping. Yeah. Intense. Right.
Look, yeah.
Give me this dude sometimes. He's in my dreams. That's right. Thank you.
and she stepped away from me. And if she did say, well, it will not be long till I have she stepped away from me and she moved through the fair. And fondly I watched as she moved here and there. Then she made her way home with one star away.
so hat, flip and flop, time to kill, old tops, market crash, haul ass.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started up with Mary Lattimore. Sometimes he's in my dreams. And then we had Springtime. New prods with the, I think, the cat from Tropical Fuckstorm and some other people. She moved through the fair. Sabla, brand new from her, Forest Path. Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mask, Volume 4. This is Part B2 from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. SLWCC Watt. My collab with Sam Locke Ward in Iowa City. Old Hat. And then finally Mary Lattimore with It Feels Like Floating. And you know what? I'm thinking now. Maybe your mom wanted you to find your own voice on the harp.
Yeah.
She might have, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Float your own, yeah, sometimes the shadow of the parent, and like sometimes I'll have cats on the show like Ian MacKay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like my son won't do music.
Oh, really?
And you know, yeah, maybe that's just the way, you know. My pop yeah. told me, Navy, never again volunteer yourself. Unless it's a pop. Okay.
Yeah.
What happens at 25 years old?
Well, I moved to Philly, which is where I started playing music with a bunch of people who lived here at the time. So, you know, it started out being like a social thing, just hanging out, and then we just started playing music together. And so,
You get an apartment, you bring that big motherfucker up.
Yeah. Sort of. Not really. I don't know. They came to me.
Yeah. Like a drummer, right? But is there little versions?
Yeah, they're little versions, but they sound like little versions,
yeah,
you know?
I thought so. Yeah, right. Go for Ovid or something.
Mm-hmm.
The little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just for paintings. You'll want to be working them. Yeah, okay. So, kind of toy, like those plastic guitars with fishing line.
Exactly, exactly, but portable, but really
yeah,
portable.
Yeah, it's portable.
So. Yeah.
Okay. What'd you do? You run an ad in a recycler? I mean... Did you know, why'd you pick Philly?
I just, I had some friends who lived here. I came to visit them and then I just fell in love with it. It just felt very like exciting, especially in 2005, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of musicians living here and felt kind of inexpensive at the time and felt
in Fishtown.
Yeah. Fishtown.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my car right now. Talking with you right across the street from the Record Exchange here in Fishtown, and I just finished hanging out with Bill Nace and Richie Charles, who I think you interviewed.
That's right.
Yeah, so I was just hanging with those guys right before this. So
wow. So who were the first cats you started playing with when you got there?
Kurt Vile was of them. Yeah, and this woman Tara Burke, she has a project called For Saxa.
Okay.
Which is really cool. And then Espers, that band was, they're all good friends of mine. Espers is like kind of like psych folk band from here. And yeah, just like a lot. Psych
folk. It reminds me of on the old days, this magazine, Maximum Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's these. Just genres and subgenres, you know, power violence.
Yeah.
It's different than Crust and different than Dirge, Cookie Monster.
Power violence. That cracks me up. It cracks me up.
Yeah. Why not, you know? I remember I was helping the Porno for Power guys in the 90s, and I was asking Pear about, you know, chill wave and dubstep, and Mike, it's all about the BPM. Okay. That's fair enough. Get that razor wire going and keep us in our little gulags, our little duck cows. It's strange.
I don't know if there are any micro genres in harp world. I haven't heard of any yet, but maybe.
No.
You never know.
Well, since there are, though, it's like kind of like your ma's position, like everybody's got to go to Mary Lattimore. Because right, there ain't a lot of people doing it, right? We need something for this area. So did you become in demand like that?
I can't say that about myself.
No, I'm talking about the early days. The early days.
Like, in the early days.
Like a lot of cats probably didn't play with a harpist before you.
Right. Yeah, so I think so. And, like, also, I just got really into writing parts for people's records. I found a lot of joy in that, like, writing a part that fit in with a song, you know, making it sound like the harp could actually fit into a song without being so, like, showy Fantasia, Showtime harp, you know, just to make kind of like a more normal instrument.
Don't use that word, sounded... Watt hates that word. Healthy.
Like, make it a more like accessible instrument where it's not just like, oh, it's a showpiece or something like
of kitsch, some kind of.
Yeah, kitsch. Exactly. So making it seem more like, okay, it's like an access, it's a thing for everybody.
And what about you mixing in with cats that were not formally trained?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, that was...
Relief?
It was a relief, exactly. And, like, everyone wasn't like, oh, your elbow isn't high enough. Oh, your technique isn't, you know, like, I wasn't being judged all the time. People just, like, found it. They, I mean, I feel like, you know, people who aren't formally trained or hadn't been around so many harps, just loved it in the same way that I did.
Like wonder.
And it's like pure way.
Yeah.
And so with not a lot of like historical baggage or like historical reference points or whatever like that. So.
Right. Well, if I want a reference point with the harp, I'm going to think Alice Coltrane.
Oh, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. November 29, 2021, Dish White Peel Show, special guest Mary Lattimore. Hold tight for hour two. November 29, 2021, second hour, Walk for Beavers.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Started off the second hour with for Scott Kelly, Return to Earth, Mary Lattimore. Then Bombas Prendon, Poetic Sequence. And then finally Mary Lattimore. Never saw him again. Well, that's trippy. I didn't. It's kind of we bookended a poetic sequence. You know, with these songs you gave me, they're not you inside Mouse Mode. Right?
No.
Right. So we don't have any music here from those early days. These are all Mary Lattimore things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about these compositions. Who is Scott Kelly?
Okay, I'll tell you. He's an astronaut, and he spent the most consecutive days in space
five years ago.
Yep. And I was following along with him on Instagram because he was Instagramming from space, and I could see, you know, he just had this perspective from space, just like looking down on the Earth and talking about stuff that was happening. And at the same time as he was up there, he was supposed to come down again. I had broken my jaw. So I had cracked my face open. just being clumsy. I just fell down. Yeah. I tripped over something. I fell down on my face.
You cracked your face open.
I couldn't talk for 2 months. I had my jaw wired shut.
Yeah.
And so I just started seeing people in a really weird way. By the end of those 2 months, I was like, oh, that's what they do. Like, chewing gum, that's what they do. Yeah. Like, I just got this very, very weird way of seeing human beings. And I kind of thought about it and was like, I wonder if this is how Scott Kelly feels. Like, oh, like going to a restaurant, that's what they do down there. Right. You know? And so I just wrote this song for him kind of in solidarity with that feeling of like, okay, you're coming back down to Earth. You're getting your jaw unwired. You have to like learn how to be social again. You have to learn to do all this stuff again in this, to be a human again, kind of. So I made the song.
His body probably got changed by the zero gravity.
Yeah. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard it's going to be a dilemma for this long space flight stuff. It's not so simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has this, Scott Kelly has a twin brother who's also an astronaut, Mark. And so when Scott came down, back down to Earth, they measured all of his, like, all of his height. They measured all of his vitals or whatever with his identical twin brothers to kind of test to see if anything changed. And he either got shorter or taller. He definitely, like, changed in height from his brother when they were the same height before he left. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So cool.
So, like, you had him in mind when you composed this.
Yeah, I did. And so I emailed it to NASA.
Oh,
I emailed the song. I found a NASA email address, like public relations or something. I emailed it to them, and then they sent it to him. And he really liked it. He wrote them to tell me that he really enjoyed the song. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, what I was going to say was, you already had the title of the song.
Yep.
Okay, I always ask, not always, but a lot of my guests, when I talk about composition, I ask about when does the song title come. For pretty near everybody, it's like at the end. Now, why it has to start with the title, or I have no focus, so I'm glad I found kindred spirit.
You did. I have to do the same thing.
Oh, is that right?
Totally.
So sometimes these are my dreams. It feels like floating. Those all started with titles.
The title, yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Some people say, oh, no, I got to hear the music. And then that gives me like a summary, you know, to come up with the title. But we use it for tent stakes to put up the tent, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Till a mermaid drags you under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a great quote from Giuseppe Garibaldi. He said, Bacchus has drowned more men than Neptune. Thank you. Watch for Pedro show. Start off that chunk of music, Mary Lattimore, Till a Mermaid Drags You Under. And we were discussing off air, people, famous quote from, well, not famous yet, but we're going to make it that way, right? Giuseppe Garibaldi. Bacchus has drowned more sailors than Neptune, all right? Don't forget that. Don't explain it to you. Then we had some lonesome corners, so many flowers bloom. The Silver Mountain Zion Memorial Orchestra and Tra-La-La Band. That's a fucking name. Brother Ethel's out there. What are they called? Godspeed Ye, You, Black Emperor people. Out of Montreal, great scene. Ghost Force. Ah, no, this is Mary Lattimore in parentheses. So it's, this tune in Cedars, Ghost Force is the name of the proj?
It's the name of the project, yep.
And what makes it different than a Mary Lattimore thing?
This is with my best friend, Meg Baird, who she's a singer from Espers, and she has her own beautiful solo stuff on Drag City. She and I, we made this collaboration together, finally, after many years of talking about making something together, we made this record.
And how did it happen? Who went first?
I mean, we both just, like...
on the count of three, you just go for it and I'll start playing.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Basically, a lot of those came from improvisations that we did. And I guess she's playing guitar. I'm playing synthesizer on some of them. And we just hold up for, like, she came down to L.A.
Or did you play synth, like, when you say you played some synthesizer, did you teach yourself mm-hmm. keyboard? Or is it synthesizer, non-keyboard guy?
Oh, it's keyboard kind, I guess. I started taking piano when I was little as well.
Oh, I didn't
know
that. Okay.
So yeah, when I was 5. Mm-hmm.
Before the harp?
Before the harp, yeah.
Christ, okay. That's happening. No, anything musical, you're investing in the next time you get musical, right? I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's a good foundation.
Ever waste. Yeah, I don't think it's ever wasted. Okay. And so you would play either the keyboard... So you were kind of accompanying her guitar, so you kind of, she went kind of first.
Or else my harp would go first in some of the songs. In this song, I think the harp came first.
Okay. And, you know, arpeggiated guitar and arpeggiated harp are kind of close, huh?
Yeah.
Right? We're using the guitarist is using the thumb for the bass, and you can actually use like a piano the other fucking hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, since you got piano knowledge, is there a kind of a correlation between left and right hand on harp, like left and right on piano?
That's a good question. It's exactly the same. So if you look at the harp music, it looks just like piano music. So bass, clef, treble clef, playing at the same time. Left hand is bass.
But there's not 88 right. strings, is there?
No, 47.
Okay, 47.
But then with the pedals, you know,
That's
right. Pedals make the sharps and flats.
Yes, that's right. No black keys.
Yeah.
Just all white strings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Curtis Mayfield tuned his guitar to the black keys on piano. A lot of F sharps.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Well, the sad thing was he got paralyzed, you know, at that gig in Brooklyn when the light thing fell on him, and he never got to teach anybody. In fact, I saw the gig before that. He played in Long Beach here. He's doing a tour of city halls, and he's playing outside, and I saw him for free. Long Beach, the next gig was Brooklyn, and that wind blew the light down on him.
Oh, wow.
I'm a big Curtis Mayfield fan, Watt. He had a great bass man named Lucky. Ah, so now, how low does the bass, the left hand go on the harp?
I mean, it goes very, very, very low.
You know where the E is, like, on our bass guitar? Is it lower than that?
I can't remember where your E is. I think so. I think it's lower than that.
Well, like a piano, that's C's lower than my E. Yeah.
It's similar. It's pretty similar. Okay. I really can't remember. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah. You know what? We might lose some listeners on this because this is getting too muso. But I'm curious because I haven't really talked to anybody about harp a lot. But yeah. I always wondered about that, if it was like a piano, but you just... You know what I love about it? Just get your hands in the strings like that. That's why I kind of didn't, even though the pick's a good thing to use, have as part of your vocabulary, there's something about the bass guitar. I could just stick my hands in it, man. There's no doubt.
I love it, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt, no insecurity. Like, are you going to get hit it right with that little piece of object? No, I got my hands on it.
Right, it's so grippable. It feels like so tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. It's true. We're at the end of the second hour. November 29, 2021. Peter's special guest, Mary Latimer. Hold tight for our three. November 29, 2021. It's the third hour of the Walk for Peter show.
Thank you.
Hour started off with "On the Day You Saw the Dead Whale," which ain't funny, but couldn't help it. I didn't realize the portent. Yeah, I'm not a total talking head, people. I mean, it starts coming out my mouth, but then I start thinking about it, and it's like, whoa. And like Mary enlightens the fact that she starts with the title, so whoa. It was kind of a documentary.
Yeah, little movie.
Right.
Little mind movie.
Then Ari, yeah, that's the way I compose. Ari Serafin after that, with the, this time there's no happy ending. Now I understand why I put that song after that. Okay, I put these together sometimes a couple of days ahead, people, but I am trying to build a flow. And then finally, Mary Lattimore with Moon Over Chins.
Deachins. Okay. Yep.
What is that, a town?
It's a little hotel in Big Sur.
Oh, Big Sur.
Yeah.
Pacific Coast Highway.
Uh-huh.
I took my boat up on the Connell line. Man, that was slow going, right? There's gets all white. With all the washouts and stuff, that boat's closed a lot nowadays.
Yeah, whoa. You took the van up there.
Yeah, yeah. That way I wanted
wow.
to do it. This was like 15 years ago, just to do it.
Yeah.
And it took, I went all the way Carmel, you know, all the way up there. But around the Big Sur, it really gets twisty and stuff. But it's part of California. I think a lot of people come to California don't know about because it's a trip.
Uh-huh. It's special. It's like nowhere else, I think.
And then, Henry Miller? I mean, and there's some history there, right?
Yep.
God, who was that poet? The guy shot himself in Montana. Bob. Yeah, Charlie Plymouth said he went to a party and he was sitting there naked. I can't remember this cat's name. Trout Fishing in America. The guy wrote that.
Oh, name. What is his name?
I know. See,
can't remember.
Getting less younger, ain't. Well, I'll find out. You know, it's because I have to remember and stuff. Actually, some of his poems were pretty trippy and, you know, right. Some really Econo and little. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's a postcard?
I'm sorry, what? What's a postcard?
That tune that you composed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in respect to...
that song, you know...
Is
there
it
was
a place
a while...
or more than a time? Or is it time more than a place?
I mean, it's a place. It's definitely a place more than a time. I would say there was a time in during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, when they were talking about closing that hotel. It's just like this really special, exquisite little rustic hotel right there by the ocean and on the cliff and in the redwoods, and it's so beautiful. And it was struggling financially, so I wrote the song partly just to kind of as an ode to it in case it was not going to be around anymore, you know, just to kind of capture that place. But it's doing fine now. They got enough donations to keep it alive, so it got saved, which is really happy.
And you were part of it, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know about
well,
that.
Spiritually, or like a
spiritually, yeah.
Some kind of resonance, parallel universe.
Yeah.
Richard Brautigan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? We're not going to let Alzheimer win. We're not going to let it win. And here's another song for somebody, Jimmy V.
Thank you.
blast music for this edition. Mary Lattimore with Jimmy V. Whoa, just lost you, Mary. Hold on, people. Got her back. Fuck these people. And then, you know, I can't pick other providers. Well, anyway, I'm not going to start belly aching and stuff. I'm grateful that I got you back. Jimmy V, Mary Lattimore, Kate and Spring, Side A from the Special League, and then Wawa by the Ocean, Mary Lattimore. I know about the Northeast, there's some bank chain called Wawa or something.
Yeah, it's a gas station. It's a convenience store.
That's it. It's not a bank chain. It's a, probably was a native word or something and stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Jimmy V. Now, I know about Jimmy Z. He played drums for Prince or something. Oh, no, or maybe it was The Time. I can't remember. one of those. Either Mo Day or Prince. But who's Jimmy V?
He's a basketball coach.
Oh, shit.
Inspiring basketball coach who he passed away from cancer, but he was very known for his inspirational. I just watched the ESPN or 30 for 30 documentary about him. And so I just made the song for him. My family is like a real basketball family, so my brother's a basketball coach. And
Sixers were an ABA team. They had some of that Showtime, the first, here we go again with trying to remember names. That was just terrible. But also baseball, Phillies, football. Mm-hmm. The Eagles didn't do good for a while. But we had a guy from your baseball, Richie Allen, that came over here. God damn, who's this guy? This guy could hang and shit. It's where they wore little pants in the 70s, right? The tiny little pants, those guys. And beautiful, beautiful men, man. Beautiful men. And and you believe, you know what's trippy about coaches? Most of them weren't good players. In fact, good players good players usually don't make good coaches like Magic Johnson.
Totally. I mean, my brother is like an example of that. I think, I mean, not saying that he's a bad player, but he is a much better coach than he is a player, for sure. It's just like he gets into the philosophy of it, you know?
Right, and they're just different things, right? Just like a rudder, got a guy on the bow, you got a guy at the keel. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to float a boat. Please tell me about your connect with Thirst, now that I'm like, yeah, it was you I was watching.
Oh, right. Well, I met Thirst in probably like 2010 or 11, and then he just kept it in his, we played a gig together. He and Bill and I played a gig in New York together, and he kept it in his mind that I played the harp. So he got in touch with me a couple years later and was like, when I saw him again, he was like, hey, Mary, do you know how to surf? And I was like, oh, no. And he's like, well, you better learn because I'm taking you to Malibu and we're going to go record a record with Beck. I was like, what? What are you saying?
Wow.
And but that's what happened. And he, it was that Demolished Thoughts record that he made that has like violin and harp. And so Samara, the violin player, and I and Thurston went out to record this record in Malibu, and it was a magical experience. And then I toured with him for like 2 years after that on the record.
Was that your first big tour?
Yeah, I toured once more with Kurt Vile initially, but then that was like my first real big one and like first time playing music overseas. Just being part of a band. It felt like a family, you know. I was very excited to be a part of that band for the first time, so it was really cool.
And you're on some record, well, the one that Beck did, right? Beck was a producer,
yep.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charles Barkley was it. So was Mailman, Sixer.
Well, oh, yeah.
Alone, right? Luscious Jackson. Yeah, it's coming back to me slowly, but I still can't think of the man I want to talk about. I can't remember. But what do you got going now? And where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, people can go to my Bandcamp page, which has all like links to all my stuff. It's MaryLattimoreHarpist.bandcamp.com.
Okay, Lattimore people, Lattimore.
Yeah,
Harpist,
I'm on tour right now. So hopefully people feel good about going to shows, trying to be thoughtful about touring, and it's fun so far.
Well, just, you got a future plans to record?
Not really. I'm taking a break from recording. I'm actually starting to work on writing film scores. So that's I'm working on a film now about a young.
Are you recording at home?
I do. Yeah, I record
great,
at home.
Great. And what's this film about?
It's about a young female skateboarder. She's 17 now. She just went to the Olympics. Her name's Brighton Zoyner, and
she. Oh, yeah.
she's great, a great kid, and it's kind of documenting her, like a coming of age story about her. They've been documenting her since she was 13, so it's a documentary about her.
Can I ask you if you compose while watching her skate? Do you do the, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because all the facets that you could bring with the harp intervals to the, her making her moves. I've had skaters tell me when they were younger they skated to Brave Captain, you know, this song I wrote for Edward and Georgie, and to be part of somebody's thing like that with music.
Yeah.
I just think all artistic expression is kind of connected. So why not? Why couldn't it be a physical, sporty kind of thing with them? But not competitive, maybe.
Right.
Because you're just trying to, right, express your art to show people her stuff in this doc.
I feel like skateboarding is so creative, too. Yeah, not the competitive part, but just, like, the individual, like, the stuff you can do on it. It just feels so personal, right? And, like, it feels like a creative artistic thing to like sport in a way, or I don't know.
It. Yeah, I think you're right on it, Julia Servin.
Oh yeah.
I got the rake in my brain and I'm sifting through fucking tons of bullshit. Yeah. Look, music is physical. You know, everything physical doesn't have to be sport competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it just stays in our heads as ideas. It's got to have some manifestation. So why does it always got to get put in that corral, like where I'm the, the buck, for the buck wild, who can stay on, hang on the longest? Why can't, it's a trip. It's the whole idea of aesthetic. I mean, I think we get it mixed up with ethic. That's another spiel. We've run out of time. It's such an honor to have you, Mary. When you get this doc, with this new music done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Very, very welcome. People, November 29, 2021, Just Your Walk for Pedro show. Keep your power right.